Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God to which we direct our attention is the 16th verse of the 8th chapter of the book of Esther. And the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. A portion of the book of Esther has been the appointed Old Testament lesson for our chapel services and for our private devotions since last Friday. And it probably does not surprise you at all that no one has read that publicly, and much less has anyone preached on it. And it probably doesn't surprise you that somebody's doing it today either. You see, we'd rather avoid the book of Esther. About the only verse most people know out of which is 4:14b, who knows whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this. I must confess, the only time I've ever heard a sermon from a text from the book of Esther, it was on that verse, and it was on Father's Day, and it was more than a quarter of a century ago. And ever since then, I have been unable to see where Father's Day fits into the church's calendar, and have been unable to also preach on a text from Esther. Well, we know all the problems of the book of Esther, and we cover them in eisegesis, and we at least hope we know the details and how it got into the canon well enough to pass the test, but after that, if you never look at the book again, that's soon enough. And we'll leave this book to the physical descendants of Abraham for their celebration and ignore its application to those of us who are spiritual descendants of Abraham and heirs according to the same promise because of Abraham's seed. So you see, if we really believe that Esther belongs to that Pasagrafe, to that all scripture, which is profitable for us, and if we really believe that whatever is written in former times is written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Holy Scripture we might have hope, then it seems difficult for us to totally ignore this book. And I would suggest that this morning this book does have something indeed to say to us, who in a sense are typified by the children of Israel in this book, and therefore this quartet of blessings, these great words of our God about light and gladness and joy and honor, have some applicability to us as well. But this quartet of blessings in the book of Esther can only be understood in light of the quartet of sorrow, which we find in chapter 4. And there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting. You all know the cause for that sorrow. The chicanery of Haman, when he sat and toasted his seeming victory with the king, that once and for all he would be rid of these people of the covenant and with a promise. And there is mourning. But you and I know that the sorrow was turned into joy, just as the sorrow of God's people when they look at their sin and what they deserve from the hand of God is also turned into joy by the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, that's why he came, not just to undo the Hamans of history and their chicanery against God's people. Of course he did that. And during Michaelmas, we concentrate our attention on the Lord's victory over sin and Satan and his evil angel. But our Lord also took our mourning and our sorrow and our weeping and our lamenting over our sin upon himself. For surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. He bore our sins in his body to the tree, so that by his death and by his resurrection, we might be free from this horrible quartet of sorrow and be delivered to be recipients of a quartet of blessing. And God's people have light. What a marvelous blessing for us to contemplate in this community. For we do our work and we go forth from this place around a motto, anything purple from above the light, because we have light. God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has indeed shined into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. We have gladness in this fall season. The sights and smells of autumn and of harvest are all around us. But the psalmist reminds us that for those who know the forgiveness of sins which God supplies, their gladness shall be greater than they that abound in grain and wine. No matter how bountiful a harvest you can imagine, as a reason for gladness, we who bask in the forgiveness of sins have greater cause for gladness than all of that put together. We have joy. That's the same word which Isaiah uses to describe the unbounded joy of God's people when they taste the ransom. It's something you and I experience daily and richly in the church as the Holy Spirit applies the forgiveness of sins to our lives. For the ransomed of the Lord shall come with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And we have honor. The Lord Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call us brethren. Beloved, we are God's children now. But it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we who confess his name before men will ourselves be confessed before his Father in heaven. That is the quartet of blessings for God's people: light and gladness and joy and honor. But we've been calling them a quartet, and I think that says something to us, if you will. For if we listen to a magnificent string quartet, once in a while our ears pick up on a passage in the viola, and once in a while our attention is directed to the mellowness of the cello, and occasionally we even hear that second violin. But have you ever met anyone who thought he could listen to a string quartet one voice at a time and capture the whole thing? No, they're meant to be played together, and together to bring us a greater level of appreciation. I think that's what happens when we pile up these kinds of words, that the totality is more than the sum of the parts, and that as we think about God giving us light and gladness and joy and honor, we have broadened our understanding and our grasp of the exquisite magnificence of the grace of God in Jesus Christ.